Good afternoon, and welcome to today's briefing from the National Toxicology Program to announce its final conclusions for cell phone studies in rats and mice. This is an embargoed press briefing. All information presented today is embargoed until tomorrow, November 1st at 10 a.m. This is a 60-minute call. It will start with opening remarks by Dr. John Booker, senior scientist at the National Toxicology Program, and a question period will follow. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Members of the press may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. When you are called upon to ask your question, please state your name and your news organization. Please note that this call is being recorded today. We will now start the briefing, and I will turn the call over to Dr. John Booker. Please go ahead, Dr. Booker.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Dr. John Booker, former Associate Director of the U.S. National Toxicology Program, or NTP for short. I'm currently a senior scientist with the program. I'm joined today by Dr. Michael Wide, lead toxicologist for the NTP Radiofrequency Radiation Studies. The NTP is a federal interagency program headquartered at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, which is part of the National Institutes of Health. NTP's mission is to coordinate and facilitate toxicology research and testing across the Department of Health and Human Services, including the NIH, Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, which is part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. One of our charges is to perform comprehensive toxicology and cancer studies on agents of public health concern. Since the inception of the NTP in 1978, we've studied thousands of agents, primarily chemicals, but also physical agents such as extremely low-frequency electromagnetic radiation and now the radiofrequency radiation used in cellular telecommunications. These are typically evaluated in experimental animal studies conducted with rodents and are performed in response to nominations from a variety of sources. The FDA nominated radiofrequency radiation used in cellular communications for study by the NTP. We designed and conducted studies exposing the whole bodies of rats and mice to high levels of radiofrequency radiation for most of their lifetimes. The exposures were to frequencies and modulations used in 2G and 3G cell phone technologies. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we're posting the final technical reports and data from these studies on our website. The conclusions represent the interpretations of the studies by NTP scientists after taking into consideration comments from the public and from an expert peer review panel held in March of this year. We use a four-level scale to communicate the confidence that we have in the association between increases in cancers in rodents and their exposures to the agent under study. This scale includes clear evidence, or the highest level of confidence, some evidence, a lower level of confidence, but still considered a positive cancer finding, equivocal evidence, meaning an uncertain finding, or no evidence. We have concluded that there was clear evidence that male rats developed cancerous heart tumors called malignant schwannomas. The occurrence of malignant schwannomas in the hearts of male rats is the strongest cancer finding in our study. We've also concluded that there was some evidence for tumors in the brain and adrenal gland of exposed male rats. The brain tumors were malignant gliomas, and the adrenal gland tumors are termed pheochromocytomas. For female rats and male and female mice, we only saw equivocal evidence, meaning it was unclear whether the cancers observed were associated with exposure to radiofrequency radiation. We also looked for other non-cancer health conditions like changes in body weight and other evidence of tissue injury. For example, there were changes in the typical patterns of age-related degeneration in the hearts of exposed male and female rats. This observation supported our conclusion that the tumors in the hearts of male rats were associated with the exposures to radiofrequency radiation. We also saw lower birth weights in rats that were exposed while in the womb, although as the animals grew, the body weights caught up with those of unexposed control animals. and we saw evidence of DNA damage in some tissues of some animals, but we need to replicate and further study these results before commenting on their biological significance. In our final report, you'll notice that some of the cancer conclusions differ from our preliminary conclusions released as draft reports last February. The panel of external scientific experts who thoroughly reviewed the study last March recommended higher levels of confidence for several conclusions, and we accepted their recommendations. Let me briefly summarize what changed. For male rats, we reclassified the malignant schwannomas in the heart from some evidence to clear evidence. We also reclassified malignant glioma of the brain and the pheochromocytomas in the adrenal gland from equivocal evidence to some evidence. For female rats, we reclassified malignant schwannoma in the heart from no evidence to equivocal evidence of carcinogenic activity. Again, equivocal means it's unclear whether the tumors we observed were associated with exposure to radiofrequency radiation. Our conclusions for the mouse study and other conclusions for the rat study remained unchanged from the draft reports. The reports lay out the reasoning and the process used by the NTP to reach these conclusions. We believe these findings are significant for several reasons. Exposure to radiofrequency radiation has long been thought to be of no health concern as long as the energy level was low and didn't cause heating of the tissues. Based on our results, we are planning further studies to confirm that the experimental evidence continues to support this position. Secondly, although we studied radiofrequency radiation used by 2G and 3G cell phones, our studies have shown us where to look for possible biological effects of newer technologies. With this understanding, our future studies can be done more quickly and efficiently. Even though our studies are an important and necessary step forward, I want to emphasize that the exposures used in our studies are not directly comparable to the exposures that humans typically experience when using a cell phone. In our studies, rats and mice received radiofrequency radiation across their whole bodies. By contrast, people are mostly exposed in specific local tissues close to where they hold the phone. In addition, the exposure levels and durations in our studies were greater than what people experience. The lowest whole body exposure level used in our studies was similar to the maximum local tissue exposure currently allowed for cell phone users. This energy level infrequently occurs with typical cell phone use. The highest exposure level in our studies was four times higher than the maximum energy level permitted, again, for local tissue exposures next to where the one holds the phone. To conduct the studies, we used two modulations of cell phone radiofrequency radiation termed GSM and CDMA. These modulations are commonly used to transmit cell phone signals in the U.S. and Europe. The animals were housed in chambers specifically designed and built for these studies. Exposure to radiofrequency radiation began in the womb for rats and at 5 to 6 weeks of age for mice and continued for up to 2 years or most of their natural lifetime. The radiofrequency radiation exposure was intermittent, 10 minutes on and 10 minutes off, totaling about 9 hours each day. The energy levels ranged from 1.5 to 6 watts per kilogram body weight in rats and 2.5 to 10 watts per kilogram body weight in mice. As mentioned earlier, the radiofrequency radiation frequencies and modulations we used mimicked those used in 2G and 3G networks, which were standard for cell phones when the study was designed. These studies did not investigate the types of radiofrequency radiation used for 4G, 4G LTE, Wi-Fi, or 5G networks. For future studies, NTP is building smaller exposure chambers that will make it easier to evaluate newer telecommunications technologies in weeks or months rather than years. These studies will focus on measurable physical indicators or biomarkers of potential effects from radiofrequency radiation. These may include changes in physiological measures such as heart rate and behaviors indicative of stress, or molecular measures such as DNA damage and changes in gene expression in exposed tissues, which can be detected much sooner than cancer. Lastly, I'd like to acknowledge that the equipment used to expose the animals was designed and constructed in collaboration with experts from the National Institute of Standards and Technology here in the U.S., the ITIS Foundation in Switzerland, and IIT Research Institute in Chicago. The actual animal exposures were carried out at the IIT laboratories in Chicago. These organizations all did a remarkable job working with staff at NTP to accomplish these technically demanding studies. And with that, we'd be happy to take your questions.
At this time, members of the press may ask questions. Please press the star and one on your touch tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one keys on your telephone. And we will go ahead and pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll go ahead and take our first question from Paul Kirby from TR Daily. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to clarify. You went through the categories where the expert panel recommended upgrades. There are four, correct? In other words, if you consider the types of GSM or CDMA and then the male, female, and then the rats, mice, there are four areas where they suggested upgrades and you accepted all four. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The upgrades are listed in the press release, are they not? Oh, sorry. Yes, we accepted all of the recommendations of the peer review panel.
Thank you.
And we will go ahead and take our next question from Taylor Scott from ABC7. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my call. Are you saying that you think this cell phone radiation is safe? And does any health agency think it's safe that you know of? Have they submitted any scientific opinion that it's safe? Because we hear some federal health agencies saying that it is safe.
So NTP is a research organization, and we are charged with developing data for regulatory agencies and the public. We have worked very closely with various regulatory agencies throughout the conduct of these studies and continue to work with them as we go through the interpretation phases.
I know, but that doesn't answer my question. Do you think this radiation is safe?
Well, the issue is one of exposure. And as I indicated in my remarks, I think we need to continue to work with the various agencies to, in essence, look at the distance between the exposures that people receive in daily life using these phones and the exposure levels that were used in the studies that we did to try to understand what's, in essence, basically a margin of safety. We do believe that the tumor responses that we see in our studies are real. They are associated with radiofrequency radiation. But as I indicated in my opening remarks, the exposures were to higher power levels than people typically receive and for longer durations. So we still need to...
Why are you doing those higher power emissions versus just something that comes out of a 2G or 3G phone? And on top of it, are we kind of behind the time on testing if we already got 5G coming out?
So the issue of keeping up with the technology is one that we're very much aware of and is why we're designing chambers to move forward with further studies. The tenets of toxicology and the basis of safety assessment studies in general are to understand the exposures that rodents and other experimental animals can tolerate and understand the exposure conditions under which they do or don't exhibit some toxic responses. We then take that information and we compare that with the levels of exposure that humans receive to whatever chemical or substance it is we're talking about, and look at that distance, as I said before, the margin of safety. The 2G and 3G technologies that we studied are in fact still used for texting and voice communications in today's cellular telephones, so there's relevance there. Basically, these other technologies are overlaid on the 2G and 3G technologies in the development of the smartphones and communication devices that are capable of data streaming.
Thanks for all your hard work, and I appreciate you sharing this study with us.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Dan Vergano. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Dan Vergano with BuzzFeed News. I'm wondering, is there a mechanism at work that you guys can identify in causing these tumors? And also, is there an explanation for the less strong effect or non-effect, uncertain effect you're seeing in mice versus rats?
Well, let me take the mice versus rats issue first. Throughout these studies that we've done, we've noted that mice were much less susceptible to any sort of a response to radio frequency radiation in our hands. The first set of studies that we did looked simply at changes in body temperature, and we found that body temperatures were much less affected by radio frequency in mice than they were in rats. So we anticipated, and in fact, I think it's been shown in modeling scenarios, that the rats with a somewhat larger body size tended to absorb the radio frequency radiation more so than the mice. And what was the first part of your question? I'm sorry.
So what is the mechanism for this radio frequency? Is this DNA damage caused by it somehow, or is it the thermal effect of the rats absorbing more heat, or what's the mechanism?
This is a subject that we hope to be able to explore in more detail in the future studies. There have been a lot of mechanisms that have been proposed for radio frequency radiation, and they include, as you indicate, DNA damage, of which we found some evidence, but we really want to look at that more closely before we make any conclusions. Also, oxidative stress has been proposed as a general mechanism, and the issue of heating is a complicated one. Radio frequency radiation interacts with biological tissues to cause some degree of heating, and the cellular telephone communication standards are set to prevent significant tissue heating during the use of cell phones. So that's really at the nexus of where we're taking our research program. Now that we know somewhat what tissues are somewhat susceptible, and we can focus in and use molecular technologies rather than pathology, if you will, to try to move forward.
Very good, thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch tone phone. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Lewis Leeson. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. In your report, you draw the parallels between Schwann cells and glial cells. I wonder if you could comment on the fact that these two types of cells are the ones that show the greatest response where you see the tumors, and these are the cells also that you see the response in epidemiological studies with acoustic neuroma and brain tumors. I mean, there seems to be a pattern of cell type here, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, obviously, we've noted that some of the findings from the very early epidemiology studies looking at gliomas and acoustic neuromas in humans were, I believe, some of the driving factors in the nomination of radio frequency radiation to the NTP. And of course, that's been an area of concern and continues to be an area of concern in the epidemiology community. I really can't speculate at this point as to a mechanism or a reason why these cell types might be the ones that seem to be responding. I think that if we knew that, we'd be quite a bit further down the road in understanding how to perhaps prevent future issues related to the use of radiofrequency radiation.
I understand you can't do the mechanism, but did the fact that these cell types are so similar and you show increase your confidence in your conclusions?
Well, the evaluation of the conclusions by NTP and by the peer review panel was at least attempted to be done in a two-phase way. One is you look at the study as we see it, and you evaluate the information. And the looking at the similarity of the cell types, I think, is a second level of evaluation that needs to be done with respect to any potential regulatory actions related to radiofrequency radiation.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We will go ahead and take our next question from Ronnie Rabin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I was just you just commented this wasn't going to be my question, but I'm going to probably have two. With exposure to radiofrequency radiation, the exposure began in the womb for the rats and at 5 to 6 weeks old for the mice. Could that explain some of the differences in the findings?
Well, that's certainly conceivable, and one of the reasons that we designed the study with rats, beginning with the pregnant animals, was to expand the potential ages ranges for exposures that might be susceptible, and that is clearly something that we need to follow up on.
I mean, is there any precautionary advice for pregnancy? There has been some concern about the prenatal period and gestation period. Or is that, I mean, I realize that would be a leap, but I mean.
We make the information available, and we can certainly direct folks to websites and the phone inserts that used to be accompanying cell phones. That recommend that you limit exposure that's directly associated with the body, use earbuds and other ways of using your telephone to reduce exposures.
Would that be particularly for during pregnancy? I mean,
I don't know enough to answer that question at this moment. I'm sorry. These recommendations would be for anyone who uses a cell phone.
Can I also ask, is there any the male-female difference here in the rat animals? Is that something we need to take note of or be dismissive of? I gather that different genders of animals often will respond differently in these. I mean, do women like not have to worry, or is that not a correct conclusion?
Well, we don't have a good explanation at the moment for the difference, the sex difference in response. As you mentioned, it's not unusual to see sex differences in cancer responses or other toxicities. The female rats generally attain a weight that is only, say, two-thirds or so that of the male rats. And if, in fact, the absorption of radiofrequency radiation is, as we suspect, governed in some part by the larger animals receiving more and absorbing more radiation, then it would make sense that the males were responding and perhaps not the females. Although I will say that there were malignant schwannomas that were observed in some of the female, exposed female animals.
Thank you.
And again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Maggie Fox from NBC News. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks very much, Dr. Booker. Your answers are so patient, and we really appreciate it. The last time we all spoke to you, I think we asked you, do you use a cell phone, and would you let your kids use a cell phone? Based on the renewed evidence, how do you feel about using cell phones?
Well, I've never been a heavy user of a cell phone. I have become, I guess, as we've gone through these studies, a little more aware of my use of cell phones. And if I'm making a short call, I have absolutely no hesitation at all in picking up the phone and using it in a traditional manner. If I'm on a conference call for an hour or two, I tend to just think about using earbuds or some other way of increasing the distance between the cell phone and my body.
Thank you.
And again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We will take our next question from William Broad. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thank you very much for going through this with such care. Can you give us a percentage of the male rats who were exposed to the radiation? What percentage developed malignant gliomas?
I believe that the percentages were low. They were, I think, 2% at the lowest exposure, 3% at the lowest exposure concentration, and then 5 to 6% at the higher levels.
So it's fair to say between 2% and 6%?
For the glioma.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking about the gliomas or the malignant schwannomas?
Yes.
The gliomas.
The gliomas.
Okay, I'm going to let Michael answer that question.
Yeah, the percentage of the animals, the males that had the gliomas was between 2 and 3%.
Great, thank you.
And we will go ahead and take a follow-up question from Ronnie Robin. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Is there going to be a quantitative risk assessment done? If so, who would do that? For a human quantitative risk assessment?
So the NTP is not equipped at this moment, certainly, to do a quantitative risk assessment. The problem I think that we face is that there are still not sufficient information with respect to the actual exposures of people to radio frequency radiation from cell phones. The exposure varies so dramatically when one moves around within a cell unit, and it varies depending upon sort of the instantaneous communication between the base station and the phone. It also varies in relation to where you're holding the phone, and all of these things make it extremely difficult to compare the findings that we have with our very controlled exposures to the human situation. So that's sort of the state of where we are at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Dan Vergano. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thanks again. I forgot to ask, is it correct or accurate when we report this to say that the panel found more certainty of a connection between cell phone radiation and tumors in rats compared to what you were reporting in February? How should we say that?
Well, I think we overall, the panel had more higher level of confidence in the association. We use these, what I described as these various levels of evidence, but they're in essence measurements of confidence.
Thanks very much.
And we'll go ahead and take our next question from Lewis Lesson. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. How often do you see malignant schwannoma of the heart in your chemical studies? I mean, how surprised should we be that you found this tumor? And then part B of the question is, you know, given that, whatever your answer is, how surprised were you just find out that the Ramazzini experiment, similar to yours, different but similar, also found this, what I believe, a fairly obscure type of tumor?
So I believe some of the historical information on malignant schwannomas is included in the report. These are rare tumors. And I believe also that the Ramazzini findings, where they have a perhaps a better historical control rate than we do, because they've done more studies using more similar exposures in their hands than we have with respect to the radio frequency radiation studies. They're rare. They're rare in the Ramazzini findings, and they're rare in our studies as well.
What does that tell you, that the same rare tumor shows up in both studies on RF, but is otherwise extremely rare?
Well, that's the subject of our report, and we're making that information available.
Thank you.
And again, that is a star and one on your touchtone phone to ask a question. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Paul Kirby. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Is it common that you do change your confidence level after an expert panel makes recommendations, as you did here?
The sort of historical view on that is that we have accepted recommendations of peer review panels most of the time, if not almost all of the time. These recommendations, in particular the recommendations from the cell phone panel, came after a very exhaustive 3-day evaluation of the findings. If you were able to tune in, you will notice that we went through first day talking about the physics and the verification of the exposures themselves. And then the second and third days were an interaction between the biologists and the physicists. So I think these studies were evaluated, if not more carefully, or if certainly equally carefully than any others that we've ever done.
And we will go ahead and take our next question from Ronnie Cohen from Freelance. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Bucher. In the news release, you're quoted as saying that, by contrast, people are mostly exposed in specific local tissues close to where they hold the phone. Would that increase or decrease the risk for humans as opposed to rodents?
Well, generally, you might think that it would decrease the risk, but that's an open question at the moment. It gets back to some of the discussions over whether there is a significant component of tissue heating to the biological responses that we're seeing. If in fact someone is holding a phone next to a well-perfused tissue where there would be very little chance of heating, then humans may be considered less susceptible. This is speculation on my part because we don't know. We don't have at the moment measurements of the actual temperature levels of the various tissues that we're looking at in this issue. There's a general issue of comparing the whole body exposures to localized exposures, and this is an issue that has to be dealt with when we interpret the findings in relation to public health issues.
And as a reminder to ask, and please press star and one on your touch tone phone if you'd like to ask a question at this time. And we will go ahead and take our next question from Joel from University of California. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Joel Moskowitz from UC Berkeley. In my submission on the draft report, my comments, and in subsequent emails, communications with Dr. Bucher, I've suggested that the NTP look at the overall tumor risk of the rats rather than looking at it simply tumor by tumor, because my preliminary analysis found a significant increase in both malignant tumors in the male rats that were exposed compared to the control rats and also in non-malignant tumors. And the differences were quite substantial, and I think they would hold up with regard to any kind of formal analysis of those data, which I extracted from the draft report. I mean, the differences we're talking about in terms of cancer risk was 38% versus 25.5% for rats, male rats that were exposed compared to control rats. And for non-malignant tumors, it was 70% versus 54%. Both of these were highly significant, but obviously you'd want to control for survival differences and some other things. I'm curious as to whether the final reports include such a formal analysis or not.
So the we added the tumor rates in Michael's paging through the document to make sure I don't make a mistake in something that I say here. We had intended, and I believe we did add the overall tumor rates for the studies to the appendices. One of the problems that we have, and this is a philosophical difference that is, you know, is a fair argument among scientists about whether one looks at specific tissue types for the tumor analysis or looks at overall tumors. The overall tumor rates are generally governed by somewhat more common tumors, certainly than the malignant schwannomas and the gliomas, and they tend to be a variable. So while it's an important way of looking at these cancer studies, and it was used historically for quite some time, we have tended to put more emphasis on the individual tissue sites for looking at specific tumor increases. That's not to say that your analysis isn't a valuable part of the conclusions or part of the discussion.
And then just to follow up with Dr. Bucher, in the draft report, the all organs, total malignant and total benign lesions were omitted, but those have now been added back into the report. So those appear in the appendices in the tables A through D.
And we will go ahead and take our next question from Louis Flusson. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Have you briefed the regulatory agencies on your results, namely FDA, EPA, OSHA, and especially the FCC? And have they asked for briefings?
Yes, we've briefed the FDA and FCC, who are the agencies that have primary regulatory jurisdiction over cell phone use.
Is that with your new conclusions or your February conclusions?
We have given them our new conclusions, yes.
Thank you.
And once again, that is the star and one on your touchtone phone to ask a question. We'll go ahead and pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And it looks like we do not have any further questions on the phone line at this time.
Well, thank you very much.
Your time
for follow-up. You want that? Sure. And we will go ahead and take our next question from Ronnie Rabin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
There was a previous question about whether humans would be, it would be protective to humans that they're not, that they're, with the exposure is primarily in where they're holding the phone. But what about radio frequencies used in Wi-Fi as well, right, for wireless devices? So would the exposure be throughout the body, not just at that contact point?
Exposure to Wi-Fi radiation would be probably throughout the entire body. The one thing about Wi-Fi is that it's at a much, much lower power level, and the distance between Wi-Fi routers, if you will, and and most people is generally fairly large. And radio frequency radiation falls off with the square of the distance. So it rapidly falls off, so that even holding a phone a little bit away from your body decreases the amount of radiation that one is absorbing dramatically. So that's one of the reasons that you'll see most of the recommendations for using a cell phone, including the fact that you know, whenever you can, use earbuds, use other means of communicating with your phone.
And we will go ahead and take our next question from Ronnie Cohen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. So there are a number of people who are saying that the World Health Organization's decision in 2011 that radio frequency radiation is a possible carcinogen should be upgraded to a probable carcinogen as a result of your study. Do you have thoughts about that?
No. I do know that the World Health Organization evaluations rely not only on animal studies, but on mechanistic information and on epidemiology findings. There are studies continuing to be done in the field of epidemiology that will potentially influence these results or these discussions as well. And I can't tell you whether I would suggest that IARC re-review this at this time.
Thank you.
Once again, that is the star and one on your touch tone phone to ask a question. We'll go ahead and pause to allow questions to queue. And it looks like we have no further questions at this time.
Well, I would like to thank the folks for tuning in today and remind you that the information is under embargo until 10 a.m. tomorrow, and appreciate, again, your participation in today's call.